Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
A covenant is different than a contract. A contract states if party A will do this, then party B will do that. And if party A fails to fulfill its obligation, then party B is out of the contract and you're free
marriage,
to run.
It isn't marriage that way?
I think that if you look at it that way, marriage becomes too easy to dissolve.
Oh.
A covenant is different. A covenant says, because you are in relationship to me, here's what I will do for you. You don't have to do anything in order for me to fulfill my obligation to you because we are in relationship together.
Mm.
That's what I have with my children. When they were born, I entered into a covenant with them, although they didn't know what that meant. But my covenant was, because you are my child, I will clothe you, feed you, house you, I will educate you, and return to society a good and useful citizen. The only things they had to do was be my daughter, and that was established at birth.
Mm.
And I think that the same thing is true of marriage. Because I've chosen to enter into a relationship with my wife, I'm not dependent upon her to do what she has promised to do. Instead, I have chosen I will fulfill the obligations of my covenant to her regardless. But I am safe in doing so because she has done the same thing for me. She says, because you are in relationship with me, regardless of what you do, I'm going to fulfill the terms of our covenant relationship. And as long as both of us do that, we're safe.
You know, I think I need to have a talk with my husband because he has always made a point to tell me how important it was for him that our marriage would be a covenant and not a contract.
Yeah.
And I like your answer that says, well, actually, we're making two covenants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making one to her and she's making one to me. And I think that's the perfect way of looking at it.
Well, it is true because in a covenant, you're not dependent upon the other person to do anything before you fulfill your obligation.
Mm.
Because we're in relationship, I'm going to do this. And it's good that God makes a covenant with us, not a contract,
mm-hmm.
because we've already broken the contract.
Yeah, and this is one of the problems that people have with our topic today, which is the Ten Commandments. You know, God has, since the beginning of Genesis, called this covenant of salvation and redemption, he has called it my covenant. And we
mm-hmm.
always said to you, this is a unilateral covenant
right.
that God makes with the human race, that he is going to come and do a plan of redemption and salvation, whether you join it or not, he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this case, in Exodus 20, when we get to the second part of this covenantal section, God invites the people to actually join his covenant and be his people. And I have heard you preach about this,
mm-hmm.
Mike, in a very interesting way, and I hope you can share with our listeners today.
Well, in those times, the time when this covenant was established by God with his people, inviting them to be a part of this, there was something known as the suzerainty vassal covenant. And it was very common in those days. A suzerain was a lord or a king over a vast terrain, and then the vassals were those people who lived within his reign. And he would make a covenant with those people. Because you live here and because you are in relationship with me, I will perform these things for you. And first he announced who he was and he described the relationship that he had with them and what they meant to him. And then the next part of the covenant was, these are the things I will do for you. And it would be things such as, if an invading army comes in, I will defend you. If a famine strikes the land, I will feed you from my storehouse. And all they had to do to be a part of that covenant was to remain vassals, you know, continue to live there and be faithful to him in that relationship, to be responsive to him.
Hmm.
And so that's what the Ten Commandments are. They're a part of this covenantal statement starting in Exodus 19, going through Exodus 24. And the part where God is promising what he's going to do for us, I think, is the Ten Commandments. This is the kind of person I will make you, a person who will honor my name, who will keep my Sabbaths, who will love your neighbor, who will honor your parents, who will take care of those people around you, who will love me and love others. That's what I will do for you.
That's very interesting. It's a very interesting way of looking at this because a lot of people have been very afraid of the Ten Commandments.
Oh, yeah.
And the Ten Commandments are the ten, we could say, umbrella principles that God shares with us about who he is and who we are in him and what his community should be, because he expects them to be that because he's about to make them that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your point about the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And now at the end of this covenantal section in chapter 24, the people get to either accept or refuse mm-hmm. to enter into this covenant with Yahweh, with his God. And it's, for me, it's very interesting that chapter 20 of Exodus, the 10 words from God, start once again by God saying, okay, let me tell you who I am and mm-hmm. what I've done for you, and therefore I can also do these other things for you.
Verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And okay. that's basically an announcement, I can do for you what I'm about to promise to you.
Okay.
And then starts the 10 commandments. It says, you shall have no other gods before me, which I think he's basically saying,
I am the one.
I'm the one who's going to take care of you and make sure that you wouldn't want another god because mm-hmm. you know I am the only one.
Okay.
It goes on from there, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So again, he's talking about don't put anything before me. Don't make any visual representation of mm-hmm. me or of mm-hmm. any other, because I'm the God.
Who's going to do all these things for
I'm
you?
I'm going to do this for you.
You know, for me, it's interesting that these 10 words from God are divided in two big groups. Mm-hmm. The first four, which relate to our identity in God, who God is for us and mm-hmm. what he will do for us and how to remember that on a regular basis. And then we have the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th commandment, which deal with how we deal with other people in the community based on that understanding of God that we have. And
Jesus really confirmed that when he was asked which was the greatest commandment. The mm-hmm. first is, the greatest is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and your strength. The second is likened to it or equal to it, and that is love your neighbor as yourself. He summarized these 10 words right here.
Yes, and we're going to talk to you a little bit more about that tomorrow, how the vertical understanding of God affects your horizontal mm-hmm. View of other people around you. And here we have, for example, the 4th commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then it starts, remember that the Sabbath started already in Exodus 16 when mm-hmm. God was teaching them that he would provide for them. And then he says to them that they're not going to work on the seventh day. And it starts a pattern of sevens in the Bible that right. we will speak to you about, the patterns of redemption, that you celebrate your redemption on the seventh day. And here, the most freeing commandment of the 10 for this slave nation was the 4th.
Yeah, because they had worked 7 days a week, 365 days a
for
year.
For 400 years.
There's never a day off. And he's saying, rest. Take one day where you don't work. And oh, by the way, rest in your salvation as well.
Yeah.
I provided that for you.
You know, and one of the sad things for me is that people have mistaken the Ten Commandments as an obstacle course mm-hmm. for salvation. Mm-hmm. And Jesus himself in the Gospel of John said, no, this is your responsiveness of love to me, your willingness to be in this covenant with me. In scholarship, this is called covenantal nomism, which means that you want to have the principles of God in your life because you understand that God has made a covenant with you. It's not an obstacle course for you to be saved.
Well, again, I've also said that my wife has commandments. They're not written in stone. you know, thou shalt have no other girlfriends before me is the commandment. And you know, the truth is that I long to keep that because I'm in love with that woman. Mm-hmm. 33 years has not been a long enough time to get to know her. Mm-hmm. I just love her, and I don't want anyone else to intrude into that relationship. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that I want to respond to because of my great love for her. And that's what the commandments are. It's our response of love. And he produces the response. He makes us that kind of person because of his love.
One thing I would love to talk about, and I know we don't have enough time, is the mistake of thinking that the keeping of the commandments is what saves us.
Yeah.
Actually, the New Testament is very specific that the commandments are not a way to salvation. Galatians, for example, mm-hmm. in chapter 3, says that if there was a way to be saved by keeping the commandments, then Christ died in vain. So that is not the role of the commandments. The role of the commandments is related to those three characteristics that we saw in chapter 19. Mm-hmm. And they are the code of ethics of the people of God. And they are the way that God shows what a healthy relationship with him looks like. And is the way that he talks about, attracts people to his kingdom. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful things about these principles. But one of them is not that the keeping of the commandments saves you.
No, in fact, they are a description of the kind of man or woman you become when you enjoy the security of salvation in Jesus Christ. Mm. When you dwell in Him, He makes you the kind of man who will always take a day to spend in rest and worship and celebration of your salvation, who will honor your parents by caring for them, who will love people so much that you wouldn't want to steal from them or bear false witness against them or violate your marriage vows.
Yeah, and I definitely hope, for example, you know, my husband, I mean, I always say, I want a commandment-keeping husband because this is done, don't commit adultery.
Right.
I mean, be faithful to your wife. And, you know, the issue here is to understand that this is a blessing, and the responsiveness is, yes, God, I want to be in a covenant with you. I understand who you are. I understand you have redeemed me from Egypt for them, for us. I understand you have redeemed me from sin. Now, I really want to live in this understanding that I can be a healthy person.
God's love changes us. It makes us healthy people. It makes us people of ethics. It makes us people who really reflect these 10 words. That's the kind of person He's making you today. As you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you rest in the knowledge that you were loved, accepted, and forgiven by Him, He changes you from the inside out. He makes you a person who is faithful to these 10 words because that's your response of love. His love changes you.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.